Well, we're continuing this morning in our study in the words of Jesus. Very briefly again, just for you, this summer I had probably the best time I've had in the Word in about 10 years. I was very much moved by the words of Jesus Christ. And in the last few months, I've been spending about an hour every day or a little more just listening to the four Gospels. And we're in a study in the Gospel of Mark, just looking at the red letter edition. All of it is the Word of God, but just looking at the words that Jesus gave to us. And we're in the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 4, and we've just finished a long series about four messages. The first teaching of the first Gospel, the first thing that Jesus teaches us is the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is how to listen to His teaching. It's a parable on how to listen to parables. He's telling us, listen, if you don't understand what you're listening to and the process that goes to your mind as you're listening, how are you going to understand anything that I'm going to teach you? So now we come to the first teaching, apart from the parable of the sower, of the first gospel, of the first message of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, if I could say this, that this little parable that we're looking at now, which are only four verses, is only found in the Gospel of Mark. And that is very unusual, because most everything that Mark writes is covered in other Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, of course, the Synoptic Gospels. Sometimes you hear that in the Gospel of John, this is only in John's Gospel. There's many things that are in John's Gospel that are not in the other Gospels. There's many parables that are in Luke's Gospel that are not in the other parables. There's some things to the Jews that Matthew writes. But Mark is very unusual. But this is the one small little thing that Mark wrote that is in no other Gospel. And it's interesting that this is the first parable that is given to us, the story of the teaching that Jesus gives to us as He begins His ministry. Remember, I told you that Mark chapter 4 is 41 verses, and 32 verses are about teaching, His ministry of teaching. So this is the parable that's only in Mark that Jesus begins to give to us as we look at it this morning. And He was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So it's interesting that the first parable, the first story that Jesus now gives to us, this is now He's finished the parable of the sower, and now He tells us a story. Again, a parable is a human interest story of a spiritual reality. There's a spiritual reality in this story. And it's interesting that the story is, again, like the parable of the sower. It's about planting, it's about growth, it's about fruit, because this is a picture of many, 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 many levels. You know, when you look around, I prayed about it this morning, when you look at the earth, look at the whole life of earth around us. Well, that's just from the very beginning in Genesis. Look what it says. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw it and it was good. God brought forth vegetation, and look, it yielded forth seed after their kind. And that seed could be now the plant, the seed that would be planted to bring seed and new plants after their kind. There is this whole truth of God's creation. God is the giver of life. And where there is life, there are these pictures of the seed, of growth, of planting, of fruit, of harvest. Look again in Genesis 1:21. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, on which the water swarms after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. God saw that it was good, and look what He says to them. God blessed them and says, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the sea. Let the birds multiply on the earth. Animals multiply different than plants. But plants, the way they multiplied was seed that was given to them to reproduce seeds after their kind with other plants. Here it was, let them be fruitful and multiply. The seed of the man, the woman, brought together to be fruitful. He says that to them because that's the giving of life. God is life. God gives life. Look what He says here. Then He created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and He said to them. So the thing I'm saying here, when I go back, don't look at this verse, I'll go back. When He created all the living things, He said He created all them. And notice the first thing He said to them. Be fruitful and multiply. He created, He gave them seed. He creates man, and what does he say to man? Oh, I should go back. He created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, both male and female. And what does he say? God blessed him and says, be fruitful and multiply. There it is again. This cycle of planting, growth, life, harvest, fruit, if I could say harvest, that's the plan we have here. God is the giver of life. And this is the picture again that Jesus gives to us. So what is this parable about? This parable that we just read about the person planting, the blade, the ear, the grain, the head, the harvest, is what happens when we as people receive what God has for us upon the good soil. Remember, he just gave the parable of four soils. The soil along the ground, the road, the soil on the rocks, the soil where there is thorns in it, and then the good soil. And the good soil is, those are the ones who the seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. This is a picture now that Jesus is elaborating to us of this cycle of spiritual life. The cycle of what happens to us, what occurs in us, not just with these other soils, but when we have this good soil that brings forth the blade, brings forth this, brings forth this, brings forth fruit, brings forth the harvest. This is the parable of telling us what happens with the good soil. So there are many, many levels of looking at this. There's the level, and we're going to go through them twice. We're going to go through this whole story twice. There is the cycle of spiritual life, and there is the cycle of spiritual birth. So that's what we're going to look at. This is a parable of bringing forth fruit, fruit that is the cycle of spiritual life, just like this would be a cycle of Garden of Eden, planting something, harvesting, good soil, fruit, just like it would be in the animals, seeds, consummation, and the fertilization, bringing forth life, an animal, a child, whatever it is. The same principle is the principle that's here. What you see in the natural world happens in the spiritual world. The cycle of spiritual life and the cycle of spiritual birth. So, look what he says. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. So the first thing we're going to look at is how this is the cycle of spiritual life. This is the cycle of spiritual life. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. What is the kingdom of God? That God's work is like a man that did this. The work of God is like a man who did this. And who is the ultimate man that does it? Matthew 13, 37. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus went about planting seeds in people's hearts. He is the sower in that sense. He is doing the kingdom of God. I have come and brought you the kingdom of God. It's brought near to you. The words that I say to you are spirits and life. The person I am is spiritual and life. And so he's saying that here, ultimately, this cycle of spiritual life begins with my sowing, my planting. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Let's read on. He goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprout and grows. How he himself does not know. When God plants a seed, something happens. It's a mystery. How it happens, we don't know. God works in a heart. God works in a human heart. It's a miracle. They hear something. They believe it. They obey it. Let me tell you something. I can tell you about Jesus Christ. I can pray with you about Jesus Christ. I can even pray a prayer of faith that you repeat after me in knowing Jesus Christ. I could spend 1,500 hours talking to you, reading to you the Bible, but I don't have the scalpels to change the human heart. Do you know that? I do not. I do not. How a heart is changed, I do not know how it happens. Look what it says. How does this happen? He does not know. That's a mystery. It's a mystery of only God's work. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not Grace Church. That's why I've told you, the church cannot change you. Your husband cannot change you. Your wife, your children cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ can change. Genuflecting will not change you. Putting on the tefillin will not change you. Being baptized will not change you. Putting on a robe that's worth $5 million won't change you. How this happens, we do not know. It's a mystery. Remember Jesus said this about the new birth? The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. Anybody ever see the wind? No. You see the effects of the wind. You can't see the wind. You can see a tree rustling. That's a mystery. There's wind going there. You see the effects. But what is the wind? The wind is a mystery. And which way it comes and which way it goes, you can't predict it. You don't know. The wind blows where it wishes. You can't command the wind, except Jesus can command the wind. Why did Jesus command the wind? Because he is the one that has life. He controls all of life. In him we live and move and have our being. All things are held together by him. In him all things consist. That's why he says, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Who can control the weather? You can't control the weather. But Jesus can. Why? And so he says, that's the way the birth is. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it. You don't know where it comes from or where it is going. The mystery of spiritual life. The mystery of the cycle of spiritual life. Now, just think of it for a minute. Think about the sower, Jesus, planting the seed in the soil. You know what the soil is? Dirt. Anybody ever eat dirt? Anybody? I don't see a hand up. Anybody? You know, some people I know, because of certain drastic situations, ate dirt. So just think for a minute. Anybody ever eat? You wouldn't eat dirt. It's dirt. Just think of it. It's dirt. Think what's in the dirt. Think of the bacteria that's in the dirt. Think of chemicals that are in dirt. Think of the rocks that are in the dirt. Think of it. And out of this dirt, think of it, dirt comes forth corn on the cob. Anybody eat corn on the cob? Anybody like watermelon? Anybody like squash? Anybody like... Isn't that amazing? Just think, out of this dirt comes the most amazing things happens, physically and spiritually. Look what it says here. He was saying to them, that which proceeds out of the man, that which defiles the man, for from within, out of the heart, out of the dirt, comes forth evil thoughts, fornications, thievery, murder, adultery. I thought these are things you do. Jesus says before you do it, it's in the dirt. It's in the dirt. That's why it's dirt. That's why your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Read on. Deeds of covetousness, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy. This is the dirt. This is the dirt. He plants it in the dirt, and yet something happens. How it happens? Wow, he knows not of. Slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Let me show you the miracle that happens. I have the testimony here of the Apostle Paul. Even though I formerly was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor. Here was Paul, a murderer. Paul was a murderer. Where did murder come from? It came from his dirt. It came from his dirt. It came from his pride. It came from his jealousy. It came from his anger. It came from his hatred. It came from his being right. It came from his pride. All this was his dirt. And God planted a seed in that dirt, and something happened. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. Out of dirt came life. Amen? Isn't that amazing? How this happens, we don't know. How it happens, we don't know. How should me, a persecutor of the church, a murderer, should come forth the glory of obedience to Jesus Christ? How does that happen? He knows. This is the cycle, the mystery of spiritual life. More than abundant, with the faith and the love which are found in Christ. Look at this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. There, dirt will not be in heaven. There won't be any dirt in heaven. It won't be dirt. You won't have dirt. But such were some of you. In that church were people who were ex-homosexuals, ex-adulterers, ex-fornicators, ex-pedophiles, ex-pornographers, ex-prideful, ex-idolaters, ex-Jews, ex-Gentiles. They were new people in Jesus Christ. Wow. How did that happen? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. How this happens, you don't know. You don't know. Such were some of you. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. Out of the dirt came forth new life in Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus said here. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth what is evil. And you can't bring forth what is good out of dirt until the dirt has the seed planted. And out of this dirt comes newness of life. For the mouth speaks that which is filled in the heart. Amazing. How this happens, we don't know. Let's go back now. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. So now he tells us this miracle happens. The cycle of spiritual life. First the blade. You know what this is? This is the first sign of life. The first sign of life. In the Christian life, it's a desire. That's the beginning of the work of God in a person's heart. A desire. A desire for forgiveness. A desire to have peace. A desire to get away and have your guilt removed. A desire to have purpose. A desire to know Christ. That's what I said when I... No one told me what to pray when I was a Christian on May 21st, 1971. No one told me what to pray. This is what I prayed. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, change me on the inside. Lord, take over my life. I had a desire. Lord, I want to know who you are. I said, I want to know who you are. It was a desire. This is the sign of life. This is the sign of life of spiritual cycle. A desire to know Christ. A desire to please Christ. It's young faith. It's very immature faith. But the overriding desire is to know. A desire. A desire. Look what Peter says. Like newborn babes, long the desire, the pure milk of the word, so that by you may grow in respect to salvation. What is a newborn babe? He sucks his mother's breast. He sucks the formula. What? It's a desire. And you know why he's crying? His desire is not being met. He's crying. He's hungry. He's hungry. A desire. If indeed you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. You've tasted something. A desire. This is the blade. This is the blade. The beginning of life. How it happens? You don't know how it happens. Again, let's look at the Apostle Paul. Here was the murderer. Here was the man with his pride and his jealousy and his anger and his hatred out of his dirt. The Lord said to him, get up and go to the house called, street called Straight. This is Ananias. This is after Paul was in Damascus. And he told this Jewish believer to go to this man's house. And notice what he says. Notice what he says. And inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. You know, about 2 weeks after I was a Christian, a man told me this and it stayed with me my whole life. Notice the first thing Paul is doing. He's praying with a new heart. He's praying like he never prayed before. Imagine that. This was the tone that showed us the change in the Apostle Paul. He wasn't going around mad that he was blind. He wasn't ranting and raving. He was humbled. He had a desire. He was praying. And notice what it says here. Ananias departed, entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you are coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from Paul's eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. A desire. You know, about a week after I was a Christian, I was with my two brothers, Hart Hushens and Keith Gates. We were having a Bible study, and I told them, I says, if you go to the room where I prayed to receive Christ, I said, you better walk very gingerly. I said, you better be careful. Don't cut your feet. They looked at me. What are you talking about? He says, man, when I came to Christ, scales fell from my eyes and it shattered on the whole floor. And if you get near it, you're going to cut your feet with the glass. I read this and I said, what happened? Something fell from my eyes and it shattered. And I told him, don't walk. Be careful. You'll get cut by the glass of my scales. So this is the first thing. There is this desire. The sorrel produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. What is the head? It's what is living the Christian life. And you know what the process of the living the Christian life is? There's new life. But this new life is not in myself. Listen to what I'm saying. This new life is not in myself. This new life is in Christ. I can do it. No, you can't do it. But I can do all things through Christ who does it through me. I'm going to do this. I will do this. No, Christ will do it through you. It's not what I have. It's not what I can do. But it's Christ, what he does, what he will do. And this is an amazing truth. An amazing truth. Paul said, that's why I'd rather even be weak if I'm weak for Jesus. I'll be strong for Jesus. I've learned to be content in every stage. Because it has got, let me tell you something. Some of the most amazing fruit of concerts I've ever had was on a crummy piano that was worth firewood for 20 people in a home. I've seen people come to Christ. And I could play on a $90,000 piano in front of 3,000 people and nothing. Why? You don't know when it's going to happen. That God can take whatever it is. That it's not what I'm doing, it's what God is going to do. And God can take the weak things of the world to confound the strong, right? The unknowable people to confound the noble. The dumb people of this world to confound the wise. Not many noble, not many wise, not many, right? That he might confine them. And this is what Paul learned. Not what I, but Christ. Someone's phone is going there? Thank you. No problem. That's Jesus calling. I just make sure someone answered the phone for Jesus. That's Jesus calling saying, listen to the message. Listen to the message. Listen, but this is what Paul learned. Listen, this is now the ear being born. After the desire, there's you realize something in your life. It's not my life, but it's Christ's life in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul didn't think of that in the beginning when he was a blade. This is what he realized. This is the growth, the spiritual cycle of life. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, which I'm now living, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Philippians 3. Whatever things were gained to me, whatever things were my advantage, those things I've counted as lost for the sake of Christ. You understand? This is not just thinking, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm trusting. No, this is realizing that anything happens is because of Jesus. Anything that occurs, it's not your life, it's God's life in you. It's God working through you. It's God's will to dwell and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? It is God's works that he has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Whatever things were gained to me, these things I've counted as lost for the sake of Christ. Listen, more than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've been suffered the loss of all things, and count all things but rubbish that I may gain Christ. To have Christ is the preeminent thing. To have Christ work through me. Oh, my friend, this is now going from the blade to the ear. And in that ear, God will put fruit. He now has something to deposit some fruit. You can't deposit fruit on a blade. It can't hold it. It's not strong enough to hold it. It can't. That's why Jesus said, he that is faithful in a few things will be faithful in many things. The blade has life, has a desire. But the desire now turns from not only just my desire, but Christ's desire, Christ's strength, Christ's will, Christ's work, Christ's word. Read on. Not that I've already obtained it, or I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may, now this is a great verse, I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I may lay hold what Jesus is laying hold on for me, so that God has his hand on what he wants for me, and I put my hand on Jesus' hand to get it done. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forget what lies behind. I press forward to lies ahead. I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God's purpose, God's strength, God's word. Not my life, but it's life in Jesus Christ. Life in Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul tells us. He's gone from just praying. He's gone from the scales falling from his eyes to a whole new realm of growth. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples. He was saying to them, to you it has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. Imagine Peter standing up and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter said, Jesus says, boy, you didn't get this because you're smart. My Father has given this revelation to you. Lord, if everybody deserts you, I will never desert you. And what did Peter do? He deserted him. And he denied him. And he ended up even swearing and doing an oath and cursing, using a four-letter word to say, I don't know this guy. You know what Peter was learning? Not Peter, but Christ. But Christ, you can't do it on your own. You can't accomplish it. You can't do it. Lord, if it all deserts you, I will not desert you. Peter, you will not. Is it about I? Is it about I? The big I? I'll show you when it's about I. You'll fail. You'll fail. And then it comes to the final thing. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And I'm going to tell you the unmistakable sign, the benchmark of how you know where fruit is now going to be deposited in your ear, right? The blade, the ear, and then the grain. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's very simple. It's when you say, not my will, your will be done. Now listen to what I'm saying. When did Jesus say this? He said it in the very moment when he would produce the greatest fruit of his life, the crucifixion. When he said, Father, is it possible? Let this cup pass from me. This is too much for me. In my human strength, in my human ability to become the sin of the world, to have all the sins laid upon me, to become the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, to be bruised and forsaken, to get on that cross, to take this enormous eternity of judgment. But not my will, your will be done. Now let me tell you when God will produce amazing fruit. When you take your money, all of your money, and you say, God, here is all my money. Not my will, your will be done. And to the extent that you keep your will in your money is the extent that you will not have fruit from what God will use in the money that you give to him. I'm not talking about offerings. There's a lot of ways to say, not my will, your will. It's about your time, about visiting somebody, about your treasures, everything you have. The benchmark is this. This is the benchmark. This is the benchmark. And when I say these words, I have a lot of conviction of areas that are not saying, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, no. Oh, no. Some things, yes, my will, your will be done. Yeah, it seems to fit in. This is it. That without convenience, without anything, the fruit comes. The fruit that God will bring forth from the blade to the head, to the mature grain, is to be able to say, whatever I have, whatever is given to me, my time, my talents, my treasures, my money, my ability, my visit, my witnessing, the gospel you've given to me, not my desire of not looking bad or shameful or denying you and no. Your will be done. This person is lost, going to hell. I would rather be scandalized and spoken of for 20 seconds of as a Christian than to let this person not reach out and try to deposit a seed. This is the overwhelming truth. We often say, thy will be done. We don't mean it. Can I tell it to you? You don't mean it. You don't mean it. We don't mean it. We say it because it makes us feel good. But in reality, if we mean it, there will be results from it. It's not a prayer. It's an action. What did Jesus say after thy will be done? He got up and he says, those that are coming, come and take me. Let these go their way. Remember, Mark 4, these are the ones whom the seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word of God and they accept it. They bear fruit. 30, 60. Notice, they hear the word of God and accept it. Thy will be done. In Matthew, the one on the seed was sown on the good soil. This is the one who hears the word of God and understands it. Thy will be done. And indeed brings forth fruit, 100, 60, 30. Luke 18, this is the seed on the good soil, and these are the ones who have hear the word in an honest and good heart. No manipulative, no maneuvering, no playing games with God, no hard tricks, heart tricks. In an honest and good heart, thy will be done. Thy will be done. He holds fast and he brings forth fruit. So look at Paul again. Paul went from the scales being dropped. Paul went from his whole view of what was the Christian life, not my strength, but God's strength. Look at what happened toward near the end. Acts 21. When he came into Cyprus, leaving it on the left, he kept sailing to Syria and landed in Tyre, for there a ship was to unload its cargo. After looking up the disciples, he stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. They said, don't go to Jerusalem. Something's going to happen. He was going back to Jerusalem to bring the gospel. Don't go to Jerusalem. Read on, Acts 21. The next day he left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. And as we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, we were all well as the local residents began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Don't go up. Don't go up. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Paul answered, what are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart. For I am ready not to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he could not be persuaded, we fell silent, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Now, what was the very first thing that God said about the mission of the Apostle Paul? Acts 9. The Lord said, go, he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. Notice, he will bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Let me tell you something. If Paul did what was convenient, oh, I'm not going to go to Jerusalem. It's scary there. I can't reach those people. Oh, no, I'm going to be here in my house, comfortable and nice, having a nice lunch, watching my sports, and everything is calm. That would have been the easy way. That's not my will be done. He said, no, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to preach to the Gentiles. And what happened? He preached to the Roman Empire. He went to the kings. He went to Rome. He ended up writing 13 books of the Bible. Why? Because he said, I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ. If God wants me to chop my head off in Rome, in Jerusalem, whatever it is, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to say, not my will be done, your will be done. That's fruit. And you're living because of this fruit. Think of it. The words of Paul that God gave to him. But you know where all this comes from? It comes from Jesus Christ, the cycle of spiritual life. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You know what he's saying there? You can take a seed and it's all safe, and you can put it in a jar and put it on your dresser. But one thing you know, until you take that seed and you bury it in the dirt and it dies, it will not bring forth the corn or the watermelon. This is what Jesus was saying about himself. Unless the grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. So very simple. From desire to God's will, to God's work, to God's will. That's the cycle of spiritual life. That is the cycle of spiritual life. And you can circumvent it, you can hinder it, you can walk away from it, you can make your own agenda from it, but it's not what God's will is, the cycle of spiritual life. So in the end it says, when the crop permits, he immediately puts in his sickle because the harvest has come. You're immortal till it's your time. Do you know that? You're immortal. Devils won't hinder you. Devils cannot hinder you. Life and death is in the hands of Christ. That's the cycle of spiritual life. Now I want to talk about this whole picture again of the cycle of spiritual birth. And this is evangelism. This is evangelism. Let's go back now. We're going to go through the whole thing again from the bigger picture to the smaller picture. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Notice that the man who has the seed is the sower. You are the sower. You are the sower. In the first place, it was Christ that was the sower, but you are the sower. Satan is the product will bring forth weeds. You know that? God is the product of bringing forth wheat. In Genesis 1, it says, and God brought forth seed, and God brought forth man and said, multiply, and God brought forth from the animals and multiply. And what happens the minute Satan comes in? There's thorns and thistles, right? And you are going about as a sower of the seed. And in fact, I have here, I looked up two things on the internet. I looked up how to grow wheat. I did that. Here it is. Growing and harvesting wheat by hand. And then I also looked up a whole thing on the internet on how to harvest and grow corn. So you that are farmers, I want to tell you something. I've learned something. Listen, how do you sow? The old time, that's just from the internet. The old timers planted their wheat by broadcasting it. This is done simply by throwing it in a fan-like hand. In a fan-like hand. You broadcast. Notice it says you cast it. Broadcasting, like radio, broadcasting it. How dense it needs to be seeded depends, again, on how much water is available for the crop. The drier the ground, the lighter you want to seed it. This is because the density of growing wheat. The quicker the availability of moisture in the ground will help it to grow. Now, then also this, listen to this about growing. The wheat looks much like grass when it first sprouts. I didn't know that. When wheat first sprouts, it looks like grass. And then it continues to grow until it, quote unquote, heads out. Oh, there's more than just life here, like a weed or a blade of grass. Heading out means that the wheat head starts developing on top of the plants. The plant turns yellow as they near harvest. You need to keep an eye on your field as you want to start the harvest after the kernels have fully dried, but not wait any longer after that than you must wait itself. So, he talks about broadcasting. He talks about here how much to broadcast. So that's what you're a sower. You're broadcasting the Word of God. My barber, I'm telling him I'm a Christian. I'm Jewish. I'm at a place at a bank in Palm Springs, and I need to get some 20s because I have all these ones. The woman says, oh, you're using all this money to go to the casino? I said, no, I'm doing this for Jesus Christ. You drop little morsels. You're a sower. You sow. You tell about your testimony. You tell them about living for Jesus Christ. You tell them about going to church. You tell them about praying. You tell them about things in your life. You tell them about knowing God. You tell them about a verse of Scripture. This is the cycle of spiritual birth. And then he says this, notice, he goes to bed at night, he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows how himself he does not know. When you sow the seed, you don't know how it's going to happen. It's the mystery of life. You know what the farmer can't do? He can't go and he says, I'm going to dig up that seed that I sowed yesterday, and I'm going to see how it's doing. You can't do that. You'll kill it. You can't go, how you doing? 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 Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? Notice, he goes to bed at night. He goes to bed at night. He does not know. You cannot predict when life will come from that seed. You can't. You cannot command it. The farmer can't say, I command you seed. Right? He can't. He doesn't have that power. He has the seed, but he doesn't have the power to command that seed because the life is in that seed, which is in God. He can't say at exactly 4:21 p.m. on digital time, that seed will come forth from the earth. He has no power because salvation is of the Lord. Look what Paul said here. I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. But who planted? You planted. You watered. God caused the growth. God cannot cause growth what is not planted. You know that, friend? You want your relative to be saved? You want your neighbor to be saved? If you're not witnessing to them, they will never be saved. Never. Never. And I came to grips with that with my mother. By the way, who I visited yesterday and had a wonderful spiritual time with her. I did. I taught her a prayer. God, give me help. Give me strength. I believe in you and your son, Messiah. And she prayed that. I told her that. Pray this every night, mother. I need your help and your strength. And she said that to me over and over again. You cannot. I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's read on. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but God who causes the growth. This is the mystery. Now that he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. We're God's fellow workers. God works with us. We plant it. He germinates it. And this is a mystery. A mystery of sadness and a mystery of encouragement. Here is someone brought up in a Christian home. Here is someone brought up on a missionary home. Here is someone brought up in Warren Modricker's, what probably the greatest missionary I ever met in my life. 50 years to the Somalias. Translated the entire Bible into Somalia. 50 years in the mission field. Warren Modricker died while he was praying by the side of his bed when he was 93 years old. In the middle of prayer, God took him. And he has children who are unsaved. Unsaved. All the privileges of a Christian home. But there's no blade. No blade. No blade. Then you find someone who didn't even hear about Christ. Someone who have all these obstacles. Obstacles. Drugs. Immorality. Abuse. And God gives him a blade. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. You find people in Christian homes who don't know Christ, and you find people that never would have been known about Jesus Christ, and they've come to Christ. It's a mystery, because salvation is of the Lord. You could have the best sermon, you could be the hardest working person, but I'm telling you something, it won't make success. God can take a donkey to share his word. I'm not saying it to be funny. Because salvation is of the Lord. I think of all the Jews that went to my confirmation class in Agudas Achim Synagogue in San Antonio. And God had mercy upon me. And you know what I remember in the 12th grade? I remember a girl who was going to be a nun. She said that, I'm going to be a nun. I'm a Catholic and I'm going to give my life to God to be a nun. And I wondered, oh, I hope she knows Christ. I hope she knows Christ. I'm not saying that she doesn't know Christ, but here I am so unlike her. And God had mercy on me. And you think being brought up, it's no guarantee. It's privilege, absolutely. It's privilege. Think of your grandchildren. It's privilege. But it's no guarantee. It's no guarantee. It's no guarantee. Let me read here for a minute. He said to them, so the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the ground. This is the King James. Hang in there with me. I have more things, but this is important. Listen. And he should sleep, and he rise up day and night, night and day. And the seed should sprout and grow up, and he knoweth not how. But this is the part. The earth brought forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. So, I did some investigating on growing corn. And you know what I learned? Listen, listen, listen. Corn. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got it. Corn is monoecious, having male flowers and tassels on top of the plant, and female flowers called silks at leaf axis along the main stem. The tassel can produce up to 1,000,000 pollen grains. The pollen moves by wind and gravity. I thought, holy chamoly. The pollen moves by wind and gravity, so single rows of corn don't pollinate and produce as many ears as do rows that are side by side. Listen to this. Listen. Incomplete pollinization results in kernel skips on the ear and is the most common cause of dissatisfaction. In order for a kernel to develop, a pollen grain must land on the silk that leads to the kernel. Because corn pollens are airborne, chamole. You mean it's up to air and gravity to get all this corn pollinated? Yes. Yes. You know what it made me think? You know what's the greatest thing you can do then? If you want to plant a seed and see fruit, pray. Pray. Remember I told you about my friend Larry Schallenberg? He told me to go out on Lake Erie. Went out fishing once. We're out there for 3 hours. And I said, Larry, I hope you pray when you go fishing. I said, why? He says, for a fish this big to find a piece of bait this big in Erie Lake, you better pray. You mean that corn is made from airborne pollens? They have to land exactly on the silk that makes them... No wonder it's a mystery. Am I right? Am I right about that? It's a mystery. You mean the Word of God is like an airborne pollen and where it lands, it's up to... Yes. No wonder God said it's like the wind. The wind, it blows here and there. My friend, when you plant, but you water. You pray. You pray. Pray for that. You can't just pray. You got to open up your mouth. But listen to this. If corn of one variety is pollinated by corn of a different variety, different kernels on the same ear will show different traits. For example, if sweet corn and field corn are planted side by side with the airborne pollinization, holy chamole, the kernels pollinate with the field corn pollen will lack the sweetness. When yellow corn is planted beside white corn, the white ears will bear a few yellow kernels. How many of you knew this? Say, no, how many of you? Oh, come, I don't believe you. Thou shalt not lie. This is unbelievable, isn't it? This is unbelievable. That these millions of pollens settling down on the silk creates, my goodness, I better pray. I gotta pray. Lord, land that word. Land that word. Boom. Wow. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Look what he says. But also, may I go back and show you this for a moment? Let me go back. Here. He goes to bed at night and gets up by day. Listen. Why does he go to bed at night? Because this sower has confidence. You know what the confidence is? Confidence that God will accomplish his work. You plant a seed. You plant a word. You plant it. Have confidence. My word will not return unto me void. It was not an accident you met someone at the airport. It's not an accident that you met your barber. It's not an accident that you live next to your neighbor. That's not an accident. That's not an accident. He's got God will accomplish his work. Jesus said, Lord, I've accomplished all the work you have given me to do. How confident we can have in God's word. Let's read on. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain. You can't rush it. You got to be patient. Listen, my friend, I may have dropped a little morsel to my barber. Who knows how many other morsels were dropped to that barber? You don't know. You think you're the first person to share about Christ. This guy maybe have had 20 people share with Christ, and you're doing a little watering, and he says, finally, I had this Jewish bald-headed guy tell me about Jesus, and I said, I give up. Am I right? You don't know. You don't know how many. You don't know this. I heard a testimony yesterday of a woman who came to Christ when she was 7 years old and her mother died when she was 18 months old. And the thing she remembers is her mother praying for her salvation. People told her how her mother prayed for her salvation. And here she's been married 50 years and she had tears thinking of the prayers of her mother. You don't know. You don't know the prayers of your grandmother, the prayers of your father. You don't know the person you've met at the parking lot. You don't know the person you've met in the hospital. You don't know what God has already done some planning and water. You don't know. Do your part. Do your part. Do your part. Don't be ashamed. This is the cycle of spiritual life. There's a planting, there's a blade, and then there's the harvest. And the harvest is, I believe in you, Jesus Christ. I planted, Apollos watered. I didn't water, Paul said. Apollos watered. Apollos said, I didn't plant, Paul planted. But God caused the growth. Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters anything, but God who causes the growth. And then finally at the end, and when the crop permits, he immediately comes in the sickle and the harvest comes in. My friend, I've led people to Jesus Christ. A month ago we saw people come to Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, I just brought in the harvest. I didn't plant. Some other watered. And you know, as I heard people's testimonies, as I heard Mary Ellen Dibble, who's sitting here this morning, telling me about her cousin, Jan Sims, who went to Tanzania, for her to see throughout her whole life her belief in believing and following Jesus Christ. Jan, you're too old to go to, you're over 70 years old, you're too old to go to Tanzania. It's not good. What about your health? God wants me to go to Tanzania. When you see a harvest, and you see the point is this, the one who sows can always eventually maybe be a harvester. You can bring people to Christ. You can bring people to Jesus Christ. You're harvesting. Look what Jesus said. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish this work. Do not say there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They're white in the harvest. Already he is reaping and receiving his wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For this is the cause of the one saying, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you've entered into their labor. Wow. Jesus saying, it's white in the harvest. Go and reap. Go and reap. Go and reap. So let's look at the end here. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to his bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows how he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. When the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I thank God that Keith Gates didn't give up on me. I had many reasons to make Keith Gates give up on me, but he kept planting and he kept watering and he kept watering. And finally, May 21st, 1971, God caught a harvest, and he says, here. Here it is, Sam Rotman. The cycle of life, the cycle of spiritual birth. Let me read something to you for a moment. This is about corn. We'll be done here in 3 minutes. The season in which the corn is harvested, listen, this isn't, I didn't know this. I'm going to tell you about, this is the natural truth. The season in which the corn is harvested is important because gardeners look forward to their first corn out of the garden. For this reason, earliness is desirable. However, the earliest corn often lacks quality. Plants on various varieties for fresh sweet corn early in the season and later varieties for quality sweet corn. You might as well plant a series of different varieties each week from the last week of April until the last week of June. So early corn is this. It takes 60 to 70 days. The stalk is 5 and 6 feet. The ear is 6 to 7 inches, and there's 8 to 12 rows of corn. The middle season is 70 to 80 days. It's 6 to 7 feet, 7 to 8 inches. It's exactly about 15% more, everything, and 12 to 16 kernels of a row. The late corn has 80 to 100 days, 7 to 9 feet tall, 7 to 9 inches, 16 to 20 rows of kernels. You know what the early corn is called? Glow. The middle, golden beauty. The late, golden cross bastane. And then at the very end, I want to read this to you. Harvesting. Harvesting sweet corn when the kernels are well filled and tightly packed. A kernel should squirt milk when punctured with the thumbnail to show evidence of developing dough. The yellow variety should have yellow corns at the tip, When these conditions are met, the corn is ready to harvest. Now listen to this. To check the stage of maturity, peel back the husk of an average ear, observe and apply the thumbnail test. To harvest, firmly grasp at the full ear, bend it backward, pull it toward the ground with a turning motion, as soon as after harvest as possible. This is where I disagree. Husk the corn, boil it to deactivate the enzymes that convert the sugar to starch, and then it's ready to eat. You know, my wife, when we were at 360 Passaic Avenue in West Caldwell, New Jersey, grew some corn. We had a little thing in the back. And one day when we had our corn and it was just ripe, I peeled it off and it smelled amazing. And you know what I did? I took off the silk, I took it off the husk, and I ate it right raw. It was like I was drinking sugar water. It was the best corn I ever had. Did you hear what I just said? He says, boil it. Don't boil it. Don't boil it. You take it right off, you bite into it. It is the most potent sugar. I mean, my whole mouth was dripping with corn syrup. Good. Good. Let's pray. Oh, brothers and sisters, you know that I'm very serious about these things. The Lord is serious about these things. This is the cycle of your spiritual life. Not my will be done, your will be done. This is the cycle of a spiritual birth. You plant, you water. My friend, how God wants to use you. How Jesus is telling us in the very beginning how he wants to use us. Oh, my friend, spend time with Jesus today about this. Spend time with Jesus Christ today. This is his first teaching. Lord, we come to you. Hear our prayer. Bless us with our missions conference. We want to have you here to us. Lord, what will you have us to do? Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.